This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right. Good. How you doing?
All right.
Good to see you.
Everybody okay at home?
More, I hope so. Yeah. They were when I left.
Emily Flake has been drawing cartoons for The New Yorker since 2008. She's sharp, she's versatile, she's very funny. And she does politics, pop culture, and parenting equally well. One cartoon has a worried-looking couple reading a letter. And the man says, "Our health insurance is being replaced by a series of tweets calling us losers." In a moment when a lot of us are feeling pretty anxious about the state of the country, I asked her how she takes her mind off it to get work done.
I mean, the things that I've been using to take to make myself feel happier, besides giant bags of candy.
Mm-hmm. Which candy do you like?
Mary Jane's, Bit of Honey's. I like the caramelly,
like the really
sticky things.
You don't have a filling left in your mouth, do you?
No. I just gum them. It's really undignified.
But these are not your suggestions.
These are not my suggestions.
What are?
So I bought a book on the internet. This is called The Importance of Living by Lin Yu Tang. He is a Chinese fella. He wrote this in 1937, and it's sort of like a rambling philosophical book about life and how to live it, more or less. You know, it's written in the 30s, so it's not sexist, but...
Where did he live? Who was he?
He lived in New York. Want me to Wikipedia this real quick? Because I'll totally do that.
I think a radio audience would love that.
Yeah. Hold on, radio audience, while I play around on my phone. I don't know. You guys Google it. So he wrote this book that is really, and it's like scarily prescient.
You want to give us an example?
Sure.
It's Lin Yu Tang's book, and it's called?
The Importance of Living. This isn't going to cheer anybody up.
This is from a chapter called Having a Mind.
Yeah. So knowing then our human frailties, we have the more reason to hate the despicable wretch who in demagogue fashion makes use of our human foibles to hound us into another world war, who inculcates hatred of which we already have too much, who glorifies self-aggrandizement and self-interest of which there is no lack, who appeals to our animal bigotry and racial prejudice, who deletes the fifth commandment in the training of youth and encourages killing and war as noble, as if we were not already warlike enough creatures, and who whips up and stirs our mortal passions as if we were not already very near the beast.
You were going to make us feel better about current affairs.
Would you like some candy?
Yeah. So, Emily, do you have another incredibly uplifting suggestion?
I do. When I'm not looking at history to tell me how terrible things are going to be, I crawl down eBay wormholes looking for other historical things I like. I fell in love with this magazine because of a book that I bought at a used bookstore that was like a compendium of their food writing.
Holiday Magazine.
Yeah.
Which was Roger Angel's first job.
Yeah, he's got a piece in this.
What's it about?
It's about shopping in New York.
Wow, we can torture him with that.
Let's do, can
yeah,
we? That would be amazing.
Can. We absolutely can.
But it's this incredible, it's
huge.
This is
April 1949,
mm-hmm.
A piece about shopping written by Roger Angel, who's still very much on the staff and writes for us about baseball and other things. Amazing. It's a beautiful magazine, too. It looks the way magazines no longer can, let's just put it this way, afford to. It's about twice the size of an ordinary magazine.
Yeah. And just gorgeous illustration, and the writing strikes this tone sort of between like chummy and erudite that is really charming and readable. It's fantastic.
And so as a cartoonist, do you, other than the books that you've got and things that you can find on the internet, are there magazines that you go look at? And other than Old New Yorkers, who else did cartooning that you can benefit by?
Playboy. Yeah. just read it for the cartoons.
Yeah.
There's one, and I don't remember if this was in Playboy or it might have been in Penthouse. It's some skin mag. And it's two little boys holding a syringe over their sleeping parents. And they're like, won't mom and dad be angry to wake up and find out they're heroin addicts? Yeah, I'm like, this is my favorite cartoon. In the whole world.
That didn't make it into the New Yorker.
Somebody slept on that.
Maybe this week.
Yeah.
And so your daughter is 4?
She is.
What kind of magazines? What do you want her to be reading when the time comes?
National Lampoon, if I can get some of those on eBay. Old Playboys when the nudes were still tasteful. I don't know. I hope my daughter, when magazine time comes, is able to read magazines and doesn't have to spend all of her time fighting sentient robots.
Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cartoonist Emily Flake.